This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 27th pick in the NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Wednesday, March 28th here at Gillette Stadium. Paul Perillo and Andy Hart with you for another Draft Prospect Review, preview, whatever you want to call it.
We view them.
And Andy Hart has provided me with all the information that we need on running backs.
Woo-hoo!
Today.
It's an exciting position.
Andy has given me the sheets here from NFL Draft Scout that show quite a few running backs that they project to be drafted. As a matter of fact, Andy, 27 different running backs they have with a possible drafting grade. Now, that goes all the way down to 7th-free agent, so
right.
A priority undrafted free agent. Obviously, this is a position that always is one of the more high-profile ones. And this particular draft, I believe, has the most dynamic and best all-around player in this draft in Trent Richardson, and I know you agree.
Yeah, I think Richardson's the best running back prospect since Adrian Peterson. I think he's the total package. Power, speed, breakaway ability, can break tackles. You know, we've been watching a lot of tape, and you watch some of the defensive tapes, and I watched some guy today, a big, strong safety, just bounced right off him. Tried to go high on him and just bounced right off his chest. He's a locker room guy, a weight room guy, a freak. I just think the total – even the comparisons to Peterson, he's got the little knee injury where he's had the scope and he's kind of missed some stuff. Same thing with Peterson. There was a little shoulder concern coming in. But we've talked about Richardson now going on 2+ years. When everybody around here was clamoring for Mark Ingram, we were kind of clamoring for Mark Ingram's backup, Trent Richardson. And I think it looks like he's going to go, you know, top five. A lot of mock drafts have him going to Tampa. So Shiano can kind of have his bell cow back. He, you know, he's a guy that likes to run the ball a lot. He takes a lot of running back wear and tear. And I think he's going to be a dynamic guy that's going to change games in the NFL.
And I wanted to jump right in with what I thought was the best overall player in the draft and happened to be at this position before I got more Patriots-centric with this draft.
Obviously, huge drop-off, by the way.
There is a huge
you
drop-off.
You get now into second-round type
process. Well, there's no other guy. Well, I'm looking at, even their updated list. There's no other guy that has a pure first-round grade. There's a couple of 1/2s, according to NFL Draft Scout, but Richardson's the only one that they have right now as being a lock. But last year, the Patriots used two high picks on running backs in Shane Vereen in round two and then Stephen Ridley in round three. You lost Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, Andy. Do you feel the need to get another member of that committee, the so-called committee that we've come to know the last 3, 4, 5 years since Corey Dillon left? Do you need to get another guy for that, A? And B, if you do, do you have to get it in the draft?
Yes and no. In all likelihood, they're probably going to add a veteran. You know, the committee has gotten smaller over the last couple of years, younger with the addition. You know, you think of Woodhead as a veteran. He's not really a veteran. He's only been around a couple of years. Now, Vereen has very little experience. Ridley has limited experience from last year. You know, assuming Kevin Falk is done, there's not a lot of veterans there, not a lot of proven commodities. You know, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis now with the Bengals, you lost your guy that you knew he was going to get you between 3.5 and 4.5 yards, and when you got near the end zone, he was going to get you a touchdown. You've lost that, and I think you need to fill that. I'm not sure you fill that through the draft, certainly not when you're talking about picking – you know, late first round into the second, third, fourth rounds. If they can't find a guy they like in free agency, I do think they need to add somebody. So if we get past the point where they haven't added a free agent, you know, we've thrown around a name like Jackie Battle, just a veteran guy, some experience who could add to the committee. If not, then, I think you look at it. And who do you look first at?
I'm not sure.
Robert Turbin.
Oh, well.
Utah State.
For you, there's no doubt. And, you know, he's a big, strong, fast.
Well, he's a third-round guy, so he's in the ballpark where they might be looking.
Yeah, and there's
second, third.
And the thing about Turbin, in all seriousness, I know I give you a lot of static about this going back to the combine when you started tweeting about him and his biceps.
And his 4.440.
I think there's a lot of good running backs. As you said, there's a big drop-off from Richardson, but I do think there are a lot of good running backs in this draft that could be had in the middle rounds. But I think most of the ones that impressed me the most are more along the lines of what you have. They're, you know, LaMichael James and, the name's escaped
Chris
me
Rainey.
From Boise State. Chris Rainey's another one, but Doug Martin from Boise State. Dynamic players, I think home run type guys, Darren Sproles types,
mm-hmm.
you know, smaller, quicker, dynamic. Well, they have a couple of those.
Theoretically, yes.
You hope. You hope that Shane Vereen turns out to be one of the. I think Shane Vereen can actually be more than that. But
I think they do too.
That's probably
they
more of
him
a,
in the second round.
Yeah, that's probably more of a PFW in progress type discussion. But Turbin is a guy that I think could actually give you something between the tackles to complement Ridley. And I know you like him a lot.
I love him, and you know, I criticized you bring up PFW in progress. I criticized the listener who said I don't really like Turbin. Well, what don't you like? Because I look
after Andy bit the guy's face off.
No. You look at it. Okay, so he's 5'10", 220 pounds. He runs a 4.4 and change, just under 4.5, 40. He rushed for 1,500 yards and had 19 touchdowns last year. Had an ACL in 2010, which is obviously a concern. But in this day and age, who doesn't have an ACL that they came back from? I mean, we got an all-pro receiver, an all-pro quarterback. Pretty much everybody and their brother's got a bad ACL. The year before that, 1,300 yards and 18 touchdowns. He has burst. He has power. He ran the Wildcat for them. Okay, maybe the level of competition isn't, you know, SEC. You're not Trent Richardson. Well, that's why I'm not taking him in the top five picks. That's why maybe I'm going to get him in the third round. But I just think he, to me, looks like a prospect who could be the total package and the next in that line of you don't necessarily have to take a guy in the top 10 to get an elite running back. I think he has the total package.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I liked what I saw of your guy on tape as well.
The Turbinator,
and,
I call him.
You know, I do think, you know, to go back to the original question that you answered about, you know, whether or not they needed to go in the draft, I don't expect the Patriots to take a running back in this draft.
They only have six picks.
They only have six, and I just think that when you used a second and third last year, and by no means do you feel like you've missed on those.
Right.
I mean, Ridley, I thought, showed a lot of promise, and Vereen, you know, let's give him an incomplete. He was hurt. But I think you have some designs on those guys this year. But if you had another guy, you know, you're looking down in the middle rounds, there's a guy that stuck out to me a little bit in Vic Ballard from Mississippi State. A bigger guy,
like
not a burner, not a real fast guy, but tough, between the tackles type runner. He's a guy I think that could make some sense if you somehow were able to acquire one of those fifth round picks, you know,
right,
something in that area.
He's in that area according to NFL Draft Scout, and I really liked, you know, finished his runs. You know, everybody talked about Benny was always falling forward, wasn't necessarily, you know, these great runs, or Antoine Smith kind of always finished falling forward.
He reminded me a little Antoine Smith, actually.
I think Vic Ballard is that kind of guy, and
not as
that's
tall
not
as
great.
Antoine,
you know, that's not, you're not going to get a 2,000 yard back out of it, but you're probably going to get a productive committee member if they've reached that point and they feel like they do need to add somebody. Although you're right, I think it's less likely. You know, I'm intrigued by, and I'm always intrigued by Belichick looking at these types of players, and you say, you know, they have the scat backs. They have Vereen, theoretically. They have Woodhead. Well, I'm not sure what Woodhead is long term. He had a far less productive second season in New England than he did his first. And in this day and age, the crossover between all these positions, if Belichick sees a guy like Rainey or LaMichael James and says, well, he's not really a running back. He's going to be my slot receiver.
Percy Harvin.
Yep. If he sees one of those guys, and you know, you look at Rainey because of the Florida connection that Bill's always down there, Urban Meyer, now Will Muschamp, Charlie Weiss. I mean, there's a lot of pieces that come together there. I think those two guys are intriguing for any football team, almost in the Tim Tebow way where you say, I'll add an athlete and figure out how to use them later.
I'm interested in any potential diamonds in the rough that you might have, but before I get to that, let me ask you this also, Andy. Talk about some of these guys that aren't traditional running backs that might be able to factor in, like Chris Rainey, you brought up. Where do you sort of stand on the Aaron Hernandez experiment, for lack of a better word? Is he at any way, shape, or form ever to be considered part of your backfield?
Not if I was the offensive coordinator. I mean, I'd like to continue to see them do it, but not for straight handoffs. I like when they move him out of there, throw him little swing passes, try to get matchup coverage issues. I don't want him taking straight handoffs, even if it's only 3, 4, 5 times a game. I think that's a pounding he doesn't need to take. I think it limits his effectiveness. Now you're talking about hits that he doesn't need to be taking when I think he's far more effective at the numbers and outside the numbers. I mean, we've seen him make some plays, not a super speedy guy, but make plays after the catch. I think he's too valuable out there to have him taking the pounding on the inside. I don't care for it.
Okay, really late round guys that may even be able to be acquired via undrafted free agent. Anyone?
Not a ton. I liked. There's a lot of guys in the mid rounds I seem to like, and when you get to draft day, it seems like some of those always slip down. You know, everybody likes him, and then for some reason, no one likes him on draft day. The kid out of San Diego State I liked, Ronnie Hillman.
Yeah, he's
an underclassman, a speed guy, very productive, small guy. I think there's two kinds of backs. They're either looking for the lead dog or maybe one of those guys. Maybe they say Woodhead's not quite the guy. We don't know what Vereen is.
And there's a lot of those. That's what we talked about at the beginning of this. There's a lot of good players in that role. It'd be interesting to see if Belichick decides.
Athletes. You know, when they come into college, they're listed as athlete.
And they'll figure out what they do with them later.
Athlete.
Yeah, one guy for me, and he had some troubles at USC, but Mark Tyler, I think, is a guy that, you know, NFL draft scout has him down as a six.
Yep.
And you mentioned that sometimes these guys tend to slip. If you could get him as an undrafted free agent, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to bringing a guy like that in. He showed the ability, I thought, to be. He wasn't as productive at USC.
Well, that's his issue.
As his tape
his
looks
production
like.
Doesn't match up with his theoretical skill.
And he had some off-field stuff. You know, he was
minor
really
stuff.
Yeah, it was minor immaturity, I think. You know, with the TMZ video, right, bad mouthing right. the team and stuff like that. But he's a guy. You know, if you could get him as an undrafted free agent,
sure.
You know, much like you got Benny in the first place. I wouldn't be opposed.
A little different scenario, kind of the opposite scenario.
Yeah,
Benny,
not
you got
anywhere
a guy who was
productive.
Ultra productive, 1,000-yard back.
Correct.
This is a guy who you may say, I think he can be a 1,000-yard back. USC probably thought he was a 1,000-yard back when they recruited him to, that's running back you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see? I got it right. All right, go ahead.
So, Trent Richardson, just a dynamic, electric player. Andy Hart calls him the best running back in the draft since Adrian Peterson.
And Peterson worked out pretty well.
And he worked out pretty well. You are correct about
you
that.
You may not believe this. I like Trent Richardson more than Rashard Mendenhall.
Wow. Well, also a lot of productive, I think, versatile third down back types.
Sure.
And, you know, guys that have caught the ball in college and can make big plays. It'd be interesting to see how these guys all come off the board. But there are some good running backs. We're not going to delve as deeply into all the individual guys. David Wilson's another one, as maybe some other positions, because we just don't think the Patriots are going to be in the market.
Word.
All right, so that's going to put a wrap on our running back draft preview. We are going to be back with you on Friday to take a look at receivers and tight ends.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.